For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Philippians, and chapter 3. We'll begin with the first verse and reading down through verse 14. It's Philippians chapter 3 and beginning with verse 1, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcised which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the goal. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, we pray this morning that you would give words. We pray, O God, that you would reveal to us of your great love, your compassion, and your kindness. Father, we pray these things because we know that these are your words. Your words are true because you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul, as he does in so many letters, he talks about to beware of false teachers. And at the very beginning of this particular chapter is no different. We hear it over and over again. We hear, well, we got another one about false teachers. Well, doggone it, they're going on today. And there's more and more of it happening. And there's more and more of preachers and teachers that are talking or sending a message to those who, as Scripture says, who have itching ears. They like to hear a specific way of doing things. And when they hear that, that is the individual that they will follow. God's word is not always easy to hear. It's not always comfortable. And that's because we are a sinful group of people. We do walk and we do things that we shouldn't be doing. We fall into trouble. We have tribulations. We are tempted and sometimes fall. But God's word sets us upright and shows us the way that we should live. It's not always easy, and sometimes it takes a while before we obey. But God loves us, and he recognizes that, and he asks us to continue to follow him, and he'll lead us through. The Apostle Paul, in this particular portion, talks about how he was. He says, if any man thinks that he's something or hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he goes on to talk about who he was. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee. That particular portion, or that particular verse, especially the latter part of it, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now we know that in the Old Testament times that there were, God had given his laws, and the people were to follow them, which they did. But in this particular case, when he's talking about the laws of the Pharisees kind of set up their own hierarchy, I guess, if you will, if I could call it that. The Pharisees set up a way in such, they added, and I may be wrong here, but for some reason I'm thinking it was like 300 and some extra laws over and above what God wanted. For some reason, the term 600 even comes in, and it may be. That's not the important part. The important part is that they decided that I'm going to add these laws to what God has wanted me to do, because that will make me even more perfect. That will make me even more righteous. That will make me even more deserving. I've heard it said that there have been Jewish households that will actually hire somebody to come and turn a light switch on a Sunday because they don't do it. They won't do it. Is it true? I don't know. But this is how far humans can make things go. This is how far humans can get things carried away. And God doesn't want that. There's one message that God has given us. Believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's it. That's it. There were no extra laws. There's no extra laws that have to be adhered to and that we have to obey. He goes on, he says, and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained for me, those I counted for loss. Let's bring it a little closer to home. Is there anything that you trust in, or anything that you may not do, thinking that would make yourself maybe a little bit better, thinking that it may make yourself a little bit more worthy? We're human. Those types of things can happen. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm not saying that it has here, but the point is that we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful concerning our zeal, concerning the way we act and the way that we do things. But what things were gained to me, those I counted but loss for Christ. When the Apostle Paul was put down on that road, that day on that road, when Christ came to him and spoke to him and asked him why he persecuted him, that was a turnabout for him. Now, if you look at it physically, or if you look at it, like, say, in your own mind, compared to what he had been and how quickly he turned away from that, that's the power of God. That's God's power in a person's life. And that power is so much such that it cannot be argued with. It cannot, you can't, you just can't walk away from it. I remember the day at that communion rail where God talked to me. I knew I had been a sinner. I knew I had been someone that was not righteous. I knew that I was just doing everything wrong. But when he came and talked to me, there were no excuses that would do any good. There were no excuses that I would be able to offer to justify myself. The only thing I could do is acknowledge myself as being a sinful person. And God loved me that much that he forgave me. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That excellent knowledge of who Jesus was and who he is. Who he was in Paul's time and who he is today, which is exactly the same thing. It's not one iota is different. It's not any different at all. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Everything that he had before, everything that we had before, everything that we will have is not important. But we need to put our focus on Christ and what he has done for us. We need to put our focus on how much he loved us and the suffering that he went through for us. All of the things before aren't worth it. We know the Apostle Paul had went through a very difficult time. Prison, scourging, or I guess, I don't know exactly how to say that, but the things that he went through, being shipwrecked, the things that he had to endure, the mockery. And you know what? The interesting part is, he turned around and back and went and did it again. He turned around and went back and continued to preach the word because it was so important to him. And because Christ was so important to him. And because preaching that word, if it would reach one person, was so important. The Apostle Paul went through an awful lot of trials, tribulations. I had a thought, I was thinking about that one day about, and we know that no one knows why he prayed to God to take away the issue that he was facing. There's no explanation for it. There's a lot of supposition, I guess you could call it. But when he came to that point of pleading with God and asking him to take it away, I believe it was the third time, I may be wrong. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Never complained about it after that. That was the end of it. Even though he was trying to, I guess I would look at it in such a way that he was trying to get some relief, some spiritual relief. You know, things were getting pretty tough. And God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's God's grace is sufficient for us. And all he asks is that we believe and trust in what he wants. Believe and trust in what he's done. Believe and trust in what he's going to do. Believe and trust in that salvation that he offered on that cross. But that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. By faith is the key. Not by what we could do, not by the law that he said, like in the first part of verse 9, he found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Basically, we as humans, we look at things, okay, well, how can I live this life and what's the best way for me to get through here? And we set up kind of rules and standards for ourselves. God doesn't want that. He wants us to follow him and live according to his law. And his law is by faith. That's what he wants. Not the law of man. Not by doing something and makes myself worthy of inheriting heaven. No. Just believe in him. Believe and trust, even as Paul did. And he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. In the first book of Peter, the fourth chapter, he says that, verse 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you have partaker, that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Looking at it in that respect, looking at it that we have to go through the same suffering that Christ went through. How was that? I mean, I'm not talking about the physical, and I'm not going down that road. But what I want to talk about is that the suffering that he had to go through, and keep in mind now, this is God. This is God that's walking on the earth. And he had to go through the abuse, the verbal abuse. He had to go through all of the things that humans can do to one another that aren't good. And the teaching that he was trying to tell them of the proper way, and they would reject it. It's this type of suffering that we also, as Christians, go through. That people who, if you try to talk to them, they just turn around and walk away. Sometimes they don't say anything, but other times that they'll look at you or say something that usually isn't very nice. And all you can do is let it go. Just let it go. Because you cannot continue on that path. And just continue to pray and continue to ask that God would reveal himself to all of those that he would. We look upon the times that are going on right now, and I know I've mentioned this before, but the things that are happening right now, we wonder, okay, God, how much longer are you going to keep this thing up? How much longer are you going to keep this earth going? He's going to keep it going until that last person is called. He knows when that's going to be. But he's keeping the door open until that last person hears that message and accepts it. And accepts it to the point of salvation, even as that thief on the cross did. And they will be as worthy of heaven as anyone that has been walking in faith for 50 years. Why? Because they believed. And they had faith to understand and to acknowledge. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained it, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He knows of the temptations and the problems and the whatnot. He knows that he's not perfect, but he continues to follow Christ, and that is where our perfection lies. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget about the things that happened in the past. Forget about the things that, the life that I once lived, even though Satan will bring it up to you and kind of throw it down in front of you. Or at least he does for me, but forget about that stuff. It's not, you don't have to. You don't have to live in that past. Why? Because God has offered you and you have accepted his salvation. And he goes on and he says,